Thank you. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Cause like a ship without a rudder, I'm just drifting with the tide, and each day I'm drawing closer to the brink. Just a speck upon the waters of an ocean deep and wide, I won't even make a ripple when I sink. It's the first time I've ever quoted Kris Kristofferson in a sermon. That song is such an honest expression of how a lot of people feel, people without the Lord Jesus, like a ship without a rudder, drifting with the tide, going nowhere, destined to sink. And I thought of those lines when I was thinking about what we've discovered in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, how in Christ Jesus, we live life for His purpose and under His authority and in His power. In Christ Jesus, we have a rudder giving us direction. We have a captain. We have wind in our sails. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, buried, and rose again as a living Lord of all creation, we now live our lives for His purpose, the purpose of the gospel, that all our neighbors and all the nations might know new life in Christ Jesus. We have a purpose for living. We live under His lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord, which brings perspective and direction to every aspect of our lives. And He doesn't just give us a map to follow. He gives us power to follow the map. We live in His power. Remember that the gospel is not only about forgiveness of sin, but it's about the power of the Holy Spirit within. That in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God changes us and empowers us to be the sons and daughters of God. It's something the prophets promised for centuries before Jesus came. And Christ Jesus forgives us of sin and fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we can live our lives in Christ Jesus for His purpose and under His authority and in His power. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, even in this early service, and you're living life without direction, without power within, you'll have an opportunity at the close of our service to make a personal commitment to Christ so that you might experience His life-changing power. We discover that when the Apostle Paul sets out to speak to us about the practical implications of the gospel in our lives, he talks to us about family relationships. And he will not allow us to understand or discuss our family relationships outside of the context of the gospel. Remember, he lays this foundation carefully, and he keeps referring to it, that at home, in our families, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live for His purpose, not our self-fulfillment, but the glory of the gospel. And we live under His authority in Christ Jesus the Lord. And we live in His power, so it's only through the filling of His Holy Spirit that we can be husbands and wives and sons and daughters that He's called us to be. And the Apostle Paul lays all that out in Ephesians before he speaks to us specifically about family roles. And we've been looking at this the last several weeks. We've seen what Paul says about the obligation, the responsibilities of wives, and the responsibility of husbands. Next Sunday, we'll finish this series by seeing what Paul says about the responsibility and the role of parents. But this morning, we're going to look at three verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 and 3, in which Paul speaks to children about their role, their responsibility in the family. Now, think about this. In most cultures, and certainly in this culture of the first century Greco-Roman world, children were to be seen but not heard. In fact, it was preferable for them to not even be seen. But Jesus changed all that. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, "Let the children come to me." And Jesus is the one who said, "If you do not receive the kingdom like a child, you'll not enter it at all." And so more than any person in the history of the planet, our Lord Jesus elevates the value of children and their capacity to know Him and worship Him, to obey Him and live under His authority, their responsibility before Christ. It's interesting and very important for us to observe that in this text, the Apostle Paul does not merely speak about children, he speaks to children, which speaks to us about their value and capacity to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And let's just walk through this slowly to make sure we understand what Paul says, and then I want to apply it in two different directions. Paul, when he speaks to children, challenges children to learn obedience at home. Children, learn obedience at home. I want you to notice in this text that the Apostle Paul brings to us a command for both action and attitude. Notice the two key words. In verse 1, obey. In verse 2, honor. Children, obey and honor. The word obedience is an action word. In fact, it's a beautiful New Testament word. The root word means to hear. To hear. And added to it is a little prefix that means under. To obey is to hear under. It speaks to someone who listens with a readiness to obey. And in fact, it helps us to understand that in the biblical vocabulary, the idea of listening or hearing always carries with it a commitment to obedience, to hear. Like when a parent says to a child, "Do you hear me?" They're not really asking a question about their, whether their ears are functioning, right? Remember when Samuel heard the Lord speak to him in the early evening? And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Yes, Lord." Eli said, "I didn't call you." Second time, a third time. And when Eli realized that the Lord was speaking to Samuel, he said, "Samuel, you go lay down in your bed, and when you hear that voice again, then here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This idea of obedience is not only the idea of hearing, but this inclination towards serving the Lordship of Christ. And so to hear under is this word obedience. It speaks to us about doing what we're told, about living under authority. But verse 2 goes a little bit deeper, maybe broader, with the word honor. Honor is not so much an action word, but more of an attitude word. The word honor comes from a basic idea of weight. To honor someone is to give them weight, to recognize their status, their significance in our lives. And when we are older, we honor our mother and father by showing them respect and appreciation and even service. But when we're a child, the chief way that honor is expressed is through obedience. Children, obey your parents. And so what Paul is speaking about here is living under authority. Years ago, Lewis Smedes wrote a book called Mere Morality. Lewis Smedes has been, he died 12 or 15 years ago, but he taught biblical ethics for 25 years at Fuller Seminary. And in Smedes' book, Mere Christianity, he really is talking about the moral code in the Ten Commandments. And he says that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, calls us to a respect for human life. And the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, calls for a respect for the marriage covenant. Thou shalt not lie, respects the truth. Thou shalt not steal, calls us to a respect for property. And when he talks about thou shalt honor your father and your mother, he says that's a commandment that calls us to a respect for authority. And we learn obedience at home. We learn to live under authority at home. And so part of what we learn here is that children, teenagers, you need to learn obedience. And the best, the safest, the most productive place to learn obedience is at home from mother and father. We don't want to grow up to be like a musician who can't follow the conductor or an athlete who's not coachable. Our relationship with our parents has this ripple effect. And from parents to teachers to employers to government. And if we want to function well in our lives, then it's important that we learn obedience at home. So we find here a commandment for both action and attitude. I want you to notice also that Paul here speaks about a duty that is both moral and spiritual. Notice the two qualifying phrases in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul says, children, obey your parents, that this obedience to parents is a moral duty. This is right, Paul says. He doesn't have to defend that. He doesn't have to explain that. He lays it out there as if everybody knows this is true. This is right. When a child is disobeying his parent, the child is the only one who thinks he's cute, right? Everybody knows. In every culture, in every time and place, that it's not right for a child to be disobedient to his parents. Paul says this is right. It's a moral, it's a moral duty. But he goes even deeper, speaking to Christians in the church, and saying, not only is this right, but children, obey your parents in the Lord. He frames this as a spiritual duty for children who are living under the lordship of Christ. Now, I should say, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I should say that this phrase, in the Lord, also limits this responsibility somewhat. Remember, Jesus said, following me is going to separate you from your families. It's going to bring you rejection from your parents. And you've got to love me even more than you love your mother and father. And so in the Lord, in part, reminds us that the fifth commandment is subject to the first commandment, that we love the Lord our God and with all our hearts and souls and mind. That's not the first commandment, but you get the point. That we worship only the Lord. You didn't even know that wasn't the first commandment. So in the Lord, in a way, limits, but primarily what Paul is saying is under the authority of Christ. In other words, he does not say, children, obey your parents because they're always right. He does not say, children, obey your parents because they deserve it. He says, children, obey your parents because Jesus Christ commands it. In the Lord. In the Lord. Mother or father. And so it's important that we see that this is a duty that is both moral and spiritual. Imagine buying a shiny apple, red and big and gorgeous. And then when you bite into it, you find that it's rotten at its core. In a similar way, I've known teenagers who never missed a Wednesday night, who are faithful with their quiet time and went on mission trips, lived a godly lifestyle at school, maybe even were active with their witness. But they were disrespectful and disobedient to their parents. And I believe what the Bible teaches us here, that for those who are still living under their parents' authority, under their roof, a primary indicator of spiritual health involves how is your relationship with your mother or father. In the Lord, it's not just a moral duty, but a spiritual duty. So we find a commandment that concerns both action and attitude, and a duty that is both moral and spiritual. And I want you to see that Paul here speaks about a promise that is both practical and supernatural. In verse 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul quotes the commandment from the Ten Commandments, not from the book of Exodus, but from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Honor your father and mother. And he says, remember, there's a promise connected to that. And he continues to quote from Deuteronomy, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, as God makes this promise to Israel, before they enter the promised land, the text actually says that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land that I'm going to give you. Paul changes this as the church expands from Jew to Gentile and says, on the earth. But he still maintains the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so there's a kind of a promise involved here to people who learn obedience to parents. It will go well with you, you'll have a good life, and you will live long on the earth. And this is something that's consistently promised in Scripture. A primary place is the book of Proverbs. Over and over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs, we find the wise man saying, if you'll listen to your mother and your father, you'll be blessed. It'll go well with you. You'll have a long and stable and prosperous life. Now, we know that we don't want to press that like it's a rule without exception. We all know that there are people who obeyed their parents and died young, and there are people who have been rebellious from the beginning and live a long life. What Paul here is doing is making a corporate promise. He's saying to the people of God, generally, if you want life to go well, if you want to have a long and productive life, then start at the center. Learn obedience at home. And primarily, that's a practical promise. Imagine the hardships and dangers of a rebellious child, teenager, young adult. So much foolish and risky behavior and dead-end roads, right? If I ask people to come testify, to share a testimony that started with, I wish I'd listened to my mom and dad, you'd be lined up from here out the door to testify. But if I ask for testimonies that began, boy, the one thing I regret is that I didn't listen to my mom and dad. I'm sorry. If I ask you to testify, the one thing I regret is that I listened to mom and dad. I don't think there's anybody in the room that would come with that testimony. I'm sorry I obeyed my parents. This is a practical promise. But it's also a spiritual promise, and I don't want to move beyond this too quickly. God will bless obedience. This is a fundamental axiom of Scripture. And in this sense, Paul is reminding us that obedience to the Lord and obedience to those under whose authority we live is an act of faith. We believe that God blesses obedience. It will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. So you see that this is a commandment for both action and attitude. It's a duty that is both moral and spiritual, and it's a promise that is both practical and supernatural. It'll go well with you. Children, learn obedience at home. Let's read the text again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. 2 points of practical application to this Bible truth about children learning obedience at home. The first is an application I want parents to make, and the second is an application for children. Parents, your children need to learn obedience at home. You hear what I'm saying? They do not, let me clarify just in case. They do not need to love you. They do not need to like you. They do not need to be your friend. They do not need to think you're cool. But they need to learn obedience at home. This is a very important truth that Paul is pressing. In the same book I referred to earlier, Lewis Smead says, it's conventional wisdom in our culture today that families are here to provide emotional support for their children. That families are a haven in a heartless world. And so family becomes a place where a child is, Smead wrote, coddled, cuddled, and comforted. Now you know he's right. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to comfort and protect our children. But they need to learn obedience. I better not tell that story. One time one of our boys, they're not here, so I'll tell it in this service. Don't repeat this part. One of our boys was in middle school, and they'd had a problem in the lunch hour, boys throwing rocks. And they had told them over and over again, stop throwing rocks. And this boy threw a rock. And he hit a girl. Not on purpose, but hit a girl in the head. That's why teachers say don't throw rocks, all right? And so he got in trouble. He was lunch detention for 3 days or something like that. And he told me what happened. And I went with him to see the principal. We sat down and I told the principal, I don't think that's enough. He needs 2 weeks, not 3 days. She passed out. We had to pick her up off the floor. That part's not true. All of it's true to the last part. All of you here who are educators know that parents are always defending their children, like their job is to protect, to defend, to keep them from consequences. To Smead's words, coddle, cuddle, comfort. More than that, children need to learn obedience. If your child does not learn to live under authority at home, it's a kind of child abuse. You are hurting them, hampering them, hindering them for the rest of their lives. Because sooner or later, they're either going to die or they're going to learn to live under authority. And it would be so much better if they learn to live under authority at home. And that's the role of parents. Your children need to learn obedience at home. To children, here's the application. Obey your parents as an act of faith. Part of what it means, if you're still under your parents' authority, part of what it means to live for the Lord's purpose and under His authority and in His power is to obey your parents. And it's very important, students, that we not disconnect our relationship with our parents from our walk with Jesus. And so, children, students, live with this assumption: the Lord will bless me if I learn obedience at home. So then, obedience to parents is not only an act of obedience, it's an act of faith. I'm trusting God and His way and His good purpose in my life as I learn obedience at home. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for the practical truth of Your word. We thank You that it is Your desire and intention to bless us as individuals and as families. And Father, we come to You with all different sorts and shapes of families. None of them perfect. All in need of Your grace. Help us to live in the wisdom and truth of Your word. Lord Jesus, be glorified in our homes, especially in this relationship between parents and children. Father, I pray that the parents in this room would be committed to the hard work of teaching their children to live under authority. And Father, I pray for the children here that they would trust You enough to humble themselves and learn obedience at home, believing in Christ Jesus that You'll bless them for it in practical ways, in supernatural ways, that they can trust You enough to learn obedience at home. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. This invitation is an opportunity for us to order our lives according to Your word. Maybe you're here together, seated next to a spouse, next to a child. It could be that you can respond to God's word by reaching over there and grabbing their hand or putting your arm on their shoulder. Let's follow Jesus at home. Let's learn and live obedience according to His word. Would you commit to be obedient to the word this morning? Some of you may need to come with a public response today, joining our church or coming for prayer. We'll receive you. Listen, some of you know that you're like a ship without a rudder and sail because you have never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And you understand this morning by God's grace that your life will never be what it ought to be until you can live for His purpose and under His authority and in His power. And today, you could turn from your sin and self and come trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Would you make this commitment? I turn from sin and I call on the name of the Lord Jesus to change me. Give me the life that He wants me to have and make me the person that He wants me to be. This invitation is your opportunity to come to faith in Christ. Let's stand together and sing, and as we're singing, You come.